Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Well, it's as David was saying, it's our AGM. We call it St. Barnabas Sunday. Once a year, we do a review of the last year, and that falls to me. But how can you review a church like St. Barnabas with so much going on? Well, I think it's felt like a good year. I think we were in good heart, but then that's all rather vague and nebulous. So this morning, I've got some statistics for you. I think some of them are quite exciting. So here we are, adult church attendance. Average attendance at St. Barnabas here is 450 adults a week, and regular attendance in numbers of people coming over a given month is 700. At Oakley, those figures are 65 and 100, and at Church of Five, 40 and 80, and both of those are very significantly grown in the last year. So the total is we have around 555 adults on any given Sunday, and over the course of a month, that would translate to 925 adults coming to St. Barnabas. Let's look at the children. Children here at St. Bees, we have an average of 65 children, but we have 125 on the roll. Oakley, they have 12 on average, but 18 are registered. And at Church of Five, they have 18 on a given Sunday and 22 in total. So the totals for children are, we have 95 children on any given Sunday, but a total registered with us of 165 children, and that ministry is run by around 70 volunteers. Let's look at youth. Youth, on an average Sunday, we have 55 youth here, but we have a total of about 85 coming regularly, and that's run by a team of 12 volunteers. And then at Oakley, they also have youth there. They have 8 on a given Sunday, but 12 in total. So the totals for youth are 63 on an average Sunday, but 97 in total. Young adults, we have a total of around 90 young adults in the young adult ministry, which is a thriving and growing ministry here at St. Bees, headed up by Ryan Van Dunn. So that makes a total attendance at St. Barnabas of around 1,200 people. Now, I'm aware there is some double counting here, so it's probably not quite as much as 1,200, but it is certainly well over 1,000 people. That's amazing, really, isn't it? Amazing. 1,000 people. Our seasonal services at Christmas and Easter have become really quite a big deal for us, not least because we attract a lot of visitors and it's an incredible outreach opportunity for us. So this last Christmas, we had in excess of 2,500 people attend our Christmas services across our three sites. And then at Easter, we had 1,638, I'm sure that figure is absolutely exact, 1,638 people attend our Easter services, including one person who was born again on Easter Sunday morning here at St. Barnabas. And you know what? That one is the most significant of all those statistics. It's been a joy and very exciting to hear that since Easter, we've had another 8 people make first-time commitments here at St. Barnabas. So the Lord is really doing a wonderful work. Let's look at some other ministries, and I can't mention all the ministries, but here's just a little snapshot of a few. Barney's. Barney's is our toddler group, amazing toddler group. It has 100, that's adults, you know, parents and carers, and children total, around 100 people attending it. Then our homeless lunch, we feed between 50 and 60 homeless guests every Sunday. That's been a really growing ministry. All these have been growing ministries. And then our English conversation classes, we have a big class on a Tuesday morning, then we have a Sunday cafe, and we have a Thursday cafe. 40 on Tuesdays, 8 on Sundays, 8 on Thursdays, with all those volunteers as well. 9 volunteers on a Tuesday, 3 on a Sunday, and 4 on a Thursday. Right now, I want to hear from a few people who can express what it's really like, the reality on the ground. So I want to invite up Keith, Becky, Sam, and Jane. If you'd like to come up, and why don't you encourage them as they come? Okay, I'm going to start with Keith. Actually, I'm going to hand you the microphone because we're really trusting, okay? We don't usually do that, but you're a special person. So, Keith.
By God's grace.
By God's grace. You have taken over coordinating the conversation classes, which is a growing ministry. We've got the Tuesday classes. We've got the cafe on Thursdays and Sundays. Keith, who comes to these classes?
On a Tuesday, it's mainly Japanese women, but also some Chinese and from time to time some Iranian.
Right.
On the Thursday, it's largely Iranian, but also there are one or two Afghani. There is also a Romanian, and just this Tuesday, suddenly, two Taiwanese, a couple turned up. So it's and on Tuesdays there are also quite a few Taiwanese women as well. And on Sunday it's mainly Eastern European.
Right, right.
And there's a mixture of some are Christian, but the majority, especially on a Tuesday, are not.
That leads me on to the next question. We've got these volunteers who are teaching English, and obviously that's the point of it, to teach English. But are there any opportunities for them to share their faith as well?
Well, the staff, the volunteers can just do that by being Jesus to them as much as possible. Some of the lessons, like particularly at Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, we will actually have lessons around and subjects around who Christ is and what the meaning of those particular times of the year are. And also, one of our inventive helpers on Thursday is taking them through the story of Gladys Aylward, the missionary to China, as well.
Yeah. So, interesting.
You know, yeah.
Very good.
And then also, like yesterday, there was an event here by the East Asian Missional Community, and Hedgin popped into our class on Tuesday and said, and invited people to come.
Okay, so it becomes a stepping stone into other things.
That's right. Yeah. And also then some of the class are also being helped through Alpha as well. They've gone on to Alpha. They've progressed as well.
So this is a really flourishing ministry. Do you, Keith, have everything that you need, all the resources, all the people that you need to lead this ministry?
Oh. Well, what we would like is some people who can just pray for the ministry. Now, I don't think we specifically had that before, but I would certainly like to hear from people who are interested just to pray. Secondly, on the Tuesday, there are people who just help with the children, because the women who come on a Tuesday bring their children, and that makes for great fun as well. But we need people to just give a break maybe to June and Naomi, who look after the children. So some helpers.
So you could do with some more volunteers on Tuesday.
And then also some people to help with the with leading the classes and leading the teaching as well.
Are you going to be around after the service?
I will be.
So if you are interested in getting involved in that, go and see Keith.
And I've put some leaflets at the back, and people can help by talking to people they see, their neighbours, their friends, and giving publicity to it as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thanks, Keith. Let's have Becky next. Okay, this is Becky.
Hello, everybody.
Now, Becky, you've been leading Barneys, this amazing toddler group, for about 6 months now. What are the highlights? Give us a highlight.
Yeah, so a highlight of something recently that happened at Barneys was a lady came in and I was signing people in and I realised she was crying and I thought, oh no. So I went over and I said, are you okay? And tried to communicate with her, and it turned out she couldn't speak English. She didn't understand what I was saying.
She needs to go to the conversation class.
She does. And she didn't understand what I was saying. I didn't understand what she was saying. And then one of our team members, one of our committed volunteers, walks in behind her. And I said, so I grabbed her and I said, look, I don't really know what to do. So Atina, she spoke to this lady, and within a couple of minutes she said she speaks Turkish. She said, I can't speak Turkish, but I've got a friend who can, so I'm going to phone my friend. So she phoned her friend. Her friend phoned back in 10 minutes, and it turned out that this lady was upset about something at home. It wasn't anything here. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she's been coming over the quite a few weeks. She's even come into church here, and we've just been trying to communicate with her, and actually, we've just been showing God's love. And more recently, she's given Atina a gift. I don't know what it is. She's made something from her hands that she's given to Atina to say thank you, really. Mm. And I think that's one thing that, wonderful. It's Jesus' love that we're showing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's really...
Yeah, it's wonderful. What excites you about this ministry, Becky?
Yeah, so, just being able, and the team and myself, just really being able to be a listening ear to people that come in, and having actually opportunities to pray with people during Barneys, during the toddler group.
And what's next?
So we are running an alpha course for parents and carers. That's going to be after Barneys on a Friday. So that's really exciting. And it's kind of small numbers at the moment, but I really believe that God is going to grow that, and really excited about
that. What can we pray for?
So prayer, yeah, lots of prayer, please. So firstly, our current volunteers, that God would keep them in good health, and just thank God for their commitment. We need more volunteers. So again, if you're liking what you hear and you thinking that, you'd like to volunteer, please come and speak to me or email me here. And for Barneys, the Alpha course, this sort of next term, prayer for that. And lastly, for myself, that God would give me wisdom, really, in leading this and to keep me in good health as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Becky. Sam. Now, Sam, you volunteer for the homeless ministry. It looks like you volunteer for some other things as well. On the homeless ministry, what do you actually do?
So on a Sunday at about 1:30, we get all the homeless guys from North Finchley to come in and have a big meal with all of us. We get about 50 to 60 people. And they come in and we can chat to them. And it's just great because we get to build relationships and whatnot. And we get to eat with them, which is really good. It's free. And we also, on a Monday evening, we do the homeless shelter as well. And then I also do on a Monday sometimes, I go up to the high road and I do like a hangout with the homeless guys so they can just come up. We go to McDonald's, we eat some food, we can chat. It's just a great time for them to be able to, really come in and just speak, talk about what's on their mind. They haven't really got a voice out there, that's the thing. And I want to give them that voice and allow them to come and speak to me so that then I can speak to you lot and tell you what they're thinking.
Why do you do it?
Why do I do it? Well, Jesus came out first. And what did he do first? He walked straight out onto the front line. He didn't sit there and, you know, think, okay, what am I going to do, and dwell on it for ages. I think we, as a society right now, we think too much about what we're going to do. We actually forget that, you know, we sit there and we turn our mind to actually think, actually, no, it's not the right thing to do. We need to just get up and do it, not think too much about it. I think, you know, what God called me to do is not be a thinker, but a doer. And we kind of like get volunteering wrong. What actually is volunteering for Christian people? And if I said to you, what is volunteering? You'll probably say to me, well, you give up your time for someone or something for free. For free. I don't think it's for free, to be honest. What we're doing in that instance when we're giving up our time is we're building an incredible relationship with God. You know, we're building something that we can't describe, you know, on the front line. You know, in those times, he's putting obstacles up in front of me, and I'm breaking them down. And when I break them down, the next time I come up to them, I'm ready for it, because I put myself in that position to be able to get there. You know, I think that's about it.
Okay. And do you enjoy it?
Do I enjoy it? Nah, I hate it. I'm joking. I absolutely love it. Like, I'd say to anybody, if you want to really, like, engage with, like, the people out there, you know, the people that we're called to go out and see on the streets, you know, all of us, we can talk in here, we can have good chats, but it's those guys out there that really need us. And I'd say 100% you'll get so much out of it. You know, God wants to grow you in every possible way, and out there on the front line is the best place. So,
brilliant.
You know, get out there.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Okay. Jane, you waited patiently there. Have a microphone. Okay. Yeah, you can go. You can go. Yeah. Well done. Jane, you're based at Oakley with your husband, Mike, who is the pastor of Oakley. And we've seen over the last year from the attendance statistics that Oakley's really grown over the last year. Where have all these people come from?
Yeah, we have been really, really encouraged, actually, by considerable growth, particularly over the last 18 months or so. I think a range of different areas, really. First and foremost, a number of new families, new Christian families, who've moved into the area. I think we've had a little bit of transfer growth where people have decided to make Oakley their home church, and it's actually their local church, so it's much nearer to them. But I guess a lot of it has been through friendships and extended family members as well.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, really.
Do you want to tell us a couple of highlights of the last year?
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to choose, actually, because there have been so many encouragements of late. But I guess really picking up on what you said earlier, Henry, about the growth in children's work, which was touched on with the numbers on the screen. We're now seeing regularly about 30 plus from the age of 0 through to 17. Mm-hmm. So considerable growth in children's work, which has caused lovely problems to have. It has caused a bit of a problem in terms of having to restructure what we're doing in terms of provision for them. But it's been obviously a great blessing to have to be able to look at that. So we're in the middle of restructuring our provision for them, but also we've had a second porta cabin that we've had put into the car park to accommodate this new growth, particularly with the youth. So one highlight is clearly about numerical growth, but the second highlight really has been spiritual growth. Really, what a joy and a privilege it's been to see people really growing in their walk with the Lord. And I think we feel that Freedom in Christ course, which we ran back in autumn, probably was quite a significant part
of
that.
How many people did you get coming along to that course?
Well, we started off with 30 that signed up, and I think we kind of thought that probably that would tail off because it was a big commitment. It was 13 weeks and 2.5 days away, but actually it just kept on growing, and in the end we had 40 people coming week by week for the full course. And obviously the growth from that and some of the personal stories that have been shared as a result of that has been a real highlight. So
that's brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jane. Okay, I've got a final statistic for us, and that is our electoral roll. Our electoral roll has grown to 696 people. That's the breakdown on that is 575 from St. Bees, 66 from Oakley, 55 from Church at Five. There have been quite a number of staff and personnel changes over the year, comings and goings. Elliot Ayrton, you remember him? Elliot, our much-loved children's pastor, moved on after 11 years, and we sent him off to train for ordination. And Alice Tashka, who was our children's and families development worker, had come just to do that for a year, and when that came to an end, she moved on. She's having a baby, but she remains on the PCC. We're grateful to her for all she did. And then on the arrivals side, Grace McPhillamy has arrived as our children's work coordinator, and Becky Townley as our families and communities worker. We just heard from Becky a moment ago. Then in the area of worship, Joshua Kane, who has been our worship pastor for the last 3 years, we sent him out to become the new pastor of Mill Hill East Church, just 2 miles away. And then I have a hot-off-the-press announcement this morning, and that is we have just appointed Andy Yates to be our music director, and that'll happen from the beginning of next month. It's wonderful. We're really excited about that. There have actually been quite a lot of staff changes happening in the support department, mainly with comings and goings with regards to maternity leave, so I won't go through all of those, but there have been a couple of new arrivals. The Chanel Berta, who is our new office administrator, part of the South African contingent, so she's arrived, and Rosie Hughes has come in as our finance admin assistant. So we're really praising God for them. Final staff change has been in the Go and Grow category. From February, we appointed Heather Stanley to be our project director. And Heather, she's not a member of St. Bees. She's a property professional, but she is a believer, and she is so heart and soul with the project. And, you know, you don't know what you need until you get it. You know that? And we'd been laboring on with the Go and Grow project, and I've been doing my best. And then Heather has come in, and I suddenly realized how incompetent I was. And she has, in the last couple of months, made an enormous difference to the project, and it's really fantastic to have her on board. With the Go and Grow project as well, we've had some other personnel changes. Richard Greaves, who has been on the project board for the last couple of years, has stepped down from the project board. He's still involved in helping the project through, but not on the project board. And I want to say a public thank you to Richard for all that he's done. There's no exaggeration to say that we would not have this project on the go now but for Richard's work. And that means that the project board now looks like this, with Hannah Parker, who's looks after the kind of finance side, Sam Markey, that looks after everything else, and me, who just trails along behind them. Other personnel changes. John Orton, who has been a licensed lay minister here, that's the new title for what used to be called a lay reader. He is going to be moving on in June this year. So we're going to be sending him out to Elstree to minister in a church there. And Anne-Marie Wilson was licensed as a mission lay minister, and that comes under the Mission Society CMS, But of course, Anne Marie is a member here and part of the 930 congregation. And then there's been a change of personnel at the higher echelons of the Church of England. We've got a new bishop, Bishop Rob Wickham. He's going to be visiting us in June this year. And a new archdeacon, John Hawkins. And of course, we have quite a lot to do with John because he is also on the diocesan side of the project board for Go and Grow. Then in the last year, we have sent out three ordinands. Chris Alexander, who we've sent out to train for ordination at Cambridge. Paul Pavlou, who we've sent out to train for ordination at... Chris Alexander's Oxford. Paul Pavlou's at Cambridge. And I've already mentioned Elliot Ireton, who's up in Durham training. There have been so many things that have happened over the last year, but I want to just pick out three notable milestones, three notable things that have happened in the last year. I could have picked out dozens, but I've just picked these three. First is the growth in the homeless lunch. A year ago, that lunch was really quite a small thing. It's now 50 to 60 homeless guests every Sunday. And it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible effort, in the right sense of the word, that St. Barnabas is doing to serve these people. It's also slightly shocking that the need has grown so much. I think that is a commentary on our society and the way some things are going. But we praise God that we are able to serve in this small way, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Another milestone has been the growth of Oakley Community Church and Church at Five. St. Barnabas here at HQ, if you like, we've probably pretty much hit a glass ceiling for the last number of years. You know, we're quite a large church, but at this base, we aren't really growing numerically and haven't done for a while. And we know the reasons why that is. It's because of lack of resources, the size of the building, the fact that we're on a back road. And we're trying to address all those issues through the Go and Grow project. But what is interesting is that the St. Barnabas project is actually growing amazingly at the fringes, at the plants that we have sent out. So Oakley and Church at Five, it's just been so exciting to see the amazing growth in both those sites. And then the third milestone is what I've called getting over a watershed in the Go and Grow project. The last year in the Go and Grow project has been an incredible roller coaster. Some of you may not have quite clocked that last June, the project was actually shut down. We looked at the finances and we looked at them together with the diocese, and we had to acknowledge that the project was not viable. There was a £1.7 million funding gap just to get to phase one. And so at the end of June, the diocese called time and shut the project down. And then the plan was to sell on Solar House, the property that we bought on the high road, and for the whole thing to finish there. But because it was the summer, they said, well, we won't put Solar House on the market until September. And so we set the 8th of September as the date that the Solar House was to go on the market. And the only way that that would be averted was that if somehow miraculously £1.7 million just popped up and we could prove that the project was now viable. And, you know, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, but I have to say that I kind of went slightly down into a pit of despair, and it came as a bit of a shock to me of little faith, when at 10:30 on Tuesday, the 8th of September, note it was not 10:29, 10:30, we found that we had that extra £1.7 million and the project was demonstrated to be viable again. Now, of course, that didn't get us out of the woods because we had a fundraising campaign. You probably all well remember it, through September and October. And we got to the final weekend of the fundraising campaign, which hadn't gone fantastically well. Final weekend was the 19th of October last year. And we had a target for that weekend to raise £250,000, £250,000 through additional giving that weekend. And again, that was a make or break, really. We had to show that we could raise that money. Otherwise, the project really wasn't viable and it would be shut down again. Well, the count took till Thursday. And we got to Thursday, and the total came through to me. I was emailed through the total, and it was £205,084.50. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, it's amazing, but it's not enough. It's not enough. We haven't met our target, and the gravity of what that meant was coming home to me, you know, that this project could not go ahead. And then about an hour later, I got a phone call from a St. Bees member, and he said, Henry, I'm so sorry, I didn't get my pledge in on Sunday. Could it be counted in the total? And I said, well, yes, of course it could. You know, you're just in time. And he said, yes, well, I want to pledge £45,000. And so the total for the weekend came to £250,084.50. We met our target. Now, we're not at the end yet. We cannot let up yet. This project is enormously challenging, and you're going to be hearing lots more about it in the coming weeks, not least about the travel plan, which is absolutely essential to our planning application. We're going to be putting a planning application in June, and the travel plan is integral to that. And that is, we want everybody to think through, every member, regular attender of St. Barnabas, to think through how they travel to church. Could they car share? Could they walk? Could they come on a bicycle or public transport or some other means than just coming in your car on your own? So you're going to be hearing more about that. Let me just review where we've got to on our key priorities for the year. Do you remember these cards? We publish a little vision card every year, and this was published back in September. Can we have it on the screen? There it is. And we set this year 4 key priorities. It's not that we don't have other priorities, but we just set 4 to focus our attention on some key things that we wanted to achieve for the year. And let me just run through how we're getting on with those 4 key priorities as we are halfway through the year. First one was launching a mission training hub. Well, we're going to be launching this in September. It's going to be called Mission for Life. And it's going to be an initial 7-session course happening in September. So we're really excited about that. Watch that space. The Mission for Life launching in September. Second one was we wanted to start new missional communities. And we're going to make that a real focus for this summer term. So do watch out for that. We're hoping that people will start to think, I wonder which other St. Barnabas members lives near me. You know, you may live in a particular road and think, oh, hang on a moment. There are a couple of other St. Bees people who live just up the road from me or just round the corner from me. Maybe we could get together and start a missional community to reach out to our vicinity. So we're going to have a real focus on that this term. Then the third one is we were going to undertake a review of St. Bee's spiritual life and health. And we're doing this at the beginning of June this year. The PCC and the staff are going to undertake this work in conjunction with an outside consultant that we're pulling in. Because we want to ask the difficult, hard questions. How are we doing? And be really honest about it and not put any gloss on it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And on the back of that review, to start to seriously plan for the future, to draw up a 5-year mission action plan based on our move up to the high road and to dream those dreams and flesh out some plans in that direction. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one, to finalize the Go and Grow project. Well, that is a work in progress. As I said earlier, I think we've got over a watershed. But there are, this project is going to happen. We've got this sense of the wind in our sails now, but it doesn't mean there aren't huge challenges still to come. In June, we will be putting in our planning application. God willing, in the autumn, we will get our planning permission. That means that in January next year, we will get builders on site up on the high road to do all the enabling works to enable us to move up there. And then in the middle of next year, summer 2017, we will move. Now, that's over a year away, but don't be deceived. It'll be on us in a flash. And we want now to pray, to prepare, to dream big dreams, and to go that next step in this extraordinary adventure of faith that we're on. Well, that's my review of the year. What a year! What a year it has been. There could have been 100 other things that I could have highlighted, but I've just given you a little snapshot of a few. I guess the headline is that God is at work in his church here at St. Bee's, and we are so excited about what is next, what the future holds for us. Thank you very much. I'm going to invite Jeanette to come and lead our prayers.